Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today as we continue on in a message I've entitled Free Indeed. And we've been looking at the subject of guilt and condemnation. It comes from various sources, the world, a conscience, our own conscience or our flesh, and also the devil. Let me share just a passage of scripture found in Revelation 12. And I will read verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." The devil always seeks to condemn. And some of you listening, the Lord just before I came on the broadcast quickened me. Impressed on my heart that I need to pray for some of you who are going through that right at this moment. You have done all that you know to do. You have sinned and you've repented, you've come before the Lord to ask for forgiveness, but you're still tormented with these recurring feelings and memories that, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. I'm so sorry I did that. And it keeps coming back to you, and you keep repenting and repenting. Well, the Lord was faithful to forgive you the first time you genuinely repented. But you have to realize what is going on. You are in warfare. The devil is always seeking to condemn. He's accusing us. We all fall short of the holiness of God. And so he keeps reminding you, look what you did the other day. You call yourself a Christian? Why, if people knew what you did, aren't you ashamed of yourself? He'll do all that he can, all these little quiet thoughts that come into your mind, and you just try to resist them, but they're there. But beloved, you need to take a stand of authority and say, devil, the Lord has forgiven me, they are under the blood, and you need to rebuke that constant attack. And it can be the slightest, subtlest thought, but unless you recognize it, you find yourself just spiraling down into a feeling of oppression and sadness and sorrow and feeling discouraged that you're not at all the Christian you want to be, and you just keep falling short, and you just, no matter how hard you try, you just keep falling over and over again. The Lord must be getting so tired of you. We've all been there, beloved. So if you are wrestling right now with guilt, let's go before the throne of grace, and we can come with faith and we can come with authority, because if you have asked the Lord for forgiveness, God has forgiven you. But what we're doing right now is coming against these attacks of the enemy. Father, we come to you so grateful for what Jesus has done in our behalf. And Lord, we all fall short. There's times we're so sorry, Lord, that we have fallen. We know our witness has suffered. Our Christian testimony has been tarnished whenever, especially before others, we've sinned. We've done things wrong that we shouldn't have done. Or perhaps it's just been in secret. It's no one else knows about it, but you know about it, Lord. But we've come and we've asked forgiveness. But Lord, the grief that comes time and time again when those guilt feelings come and we just feel that we're just, you know, as long as we've served you, God, that we're not more spiritual, we're not in a better condition, we're not stronger. And so, Father, we know that there is an attack the enemy will bring against us. We know from the Word of God, he did that before Job. And he accused Job before you. There was none like him in all the earth. But he just said, he's just serving you because of all the blessings you have in his life. You put a hedge round about him. But God, you and your holiness was exonerated, that no matter, even though you allowed the enemy to test him beyond endurance, he preserved. He stood in righteousness. He did not condemn you. He did not turn against you. And you prove before the court of heaven that there was a man who could be robbed of every blessing and could suffer great affliction and yet not deny your name. And so, Father, we thank you that we can come to you with faith and with boldness. And, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I come against these demonic attacks that are coming against your beloved. I take authority over this condemnation, over this accusation, over these unwarranted guilt feelings. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I command you to loose your hold upon the beloved of God. And, Father, I thank you right now for that faith to arise in their heart. A praise, a knowledge that you have set them free, that they are accepted in the beloved, that they do not have to fear the accusations of the evil one, but you have totally forgiven them. They walk in fellowship with you, and you will just pour your comfort into them right now, your peace, your anointing in the mighty name of Jesus. And I praise you and I thank you for it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, well, let's go on and let's seek to understand even more fully the nature of this warfare that we encounter. And I want to talk about the distinction between guilt, real guilt, and guilt feelings. Beloved, when you've sinned, when you actually are guilty for the Lord, you should feel guilty. Thank God that you feel guilty. And that's when you go to the Lord and say, Lord, I am guilty. You know, David did that. When Nathan came before him, he said, Thou art the man. When he was giving the parable of this man with his one little lamb. And he had to acknowledge and repent of the sin of murdering, basically, Uriah, not with his own hands, but he caused it to happen. And adultery, he took Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. And he was willing, he was immediate. When he was confronted with the prophet, the word of the Lord, he repented before the Lord. That's where Psalm 51 came from. And so we have to understand there's a distinction between real guilt and between feeling guilty. Sometimes we feel guilty, but we aren't. Sometimes we can feel guilty over the things that the Bible doesn't label as sins. I mean, I remember once, this was years ago, we were at Whitehall, and the sister just, I mean, she was like repenting for drinking coffee. God said that she just should not do that. And my response is, well, if that's what God told you, then by heavens, don't do it. But I mean, there are others of us that can drink coffee and not feel condemned because it's not a sin. The Bible doesn't label it as a sin. I'm just using that as an example. Although anything that harms the body willfully, I mean, that's the thing with drinking alcohol. Not only is there the bondage of alcohol, but I mean, it is harmful to the body. I mean, I have known many dear Christian parents that have lost loved ones because they've drank themselves to death. They could not free themselves from the addiction. But I want to address now those that are feeling guilty, and you don't know what you've done, and you're just dealing with these feelings. You cannot feel guilt over sins that have already been confessed and forgiven. Why? Because you're denying that God has actually forgiven you. Sometimes we feel guilt, but we are guilty if we clearly disobey God's commands. But what do we do? So if you are truly guilty, confess your sin and turn from it. Don't deny it. Don't excuse it. Don't cover it up. But acknowledge it as David did when really confronted with his sin. And then ask forgiveness. And if it's appropriate, make restitution. Whatever the situation is, God knows. And if he would have you do it, places it on your heart, do the right thing. If you've blown it in front of others, you can say, you know, please forgive me. I was wrong. I should never have said that. And, you know, I repent. I just should not have said that. And I ask your forgiveness. So there's something really noble and strong and courageous about a man or woman who will say, I was wrong. Forgive me. Amen. So we have to understand that we will acknowledge our forgiveness. We will ask the Lord for forgiveness. And it's important that we maintain a right relationship with our Father and others. You know, David went almost a year before God was giving him that time to repent. He took Bathsheba as his wife. And they the child that was born to them, well, God required its life. He fasted, he prayed, and God, he said it would, the child would not live. And that's exactly what happened, even though he fasted. And then when he had the news, he went, it's like, what is this? You know, you're fasting when the child's still alive. And then when he dies, you go to the house of the Lord. Why? Because he was going through that process of true repentance before God. Sometimes, though, you know, you just can't shake off those guilt feelings even after you've repented and after you've confessed. And that's when you have to realize it's not the Holy Spirit convicting you. Why? Because you've already responded to his conviction by repenting. You don't have to do it over and over again. When you did it the first time and were sincere from your heart, he forgave you. But in situations after that, when you still feel guilty, you're under attack from the accuser of the brethren. You have to realize that's what's going on, and you need to know how to put him to flight. So, what's the first question? What's the first answer? What does Paul say in Romans 8? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? The answer is, it is God who justifies. God alone is the supreme and final judge of the universe. If he condemns you, you are condemned. But if he acquits you, you are acquitted. Praise God. And so when you've done what the Bible tells us to do, you can rejoice that your sins are forgiven and you are not guilty before the Lord, and don't accept guilt and condemnation from the enemy. Well, with the Lord's help, we'll see if we can maybe conclude this tomorrow. I invite you to join us, and I thank you for your prayer support. Beloved, UCM partners, if it wasn't for your faithful prayers and your faithful sacrificial giving, we cannot remain on this station or go forward in all the outreaches we have. I love you, pray for you every day, including you, my radio family. Some of you have never written, and if you feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit, I invite you to obey him. It's always a good thing to obey the Holy Spirit, and he has a reason for having you do that. Not only for the power of agreement, but whatever God would have me share with you, there's something you need to hear, some prophetic word that God would bless you with, just obey the Lord. The announcer will give our contact information. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.